Come, Holy Spirit, open our ears that we may hear your word and know your touch in our lives and for your glory. Amen. Do sit down. I've got two younger sisters. One of them actually is a bit disorganized, and she compromises her disorganization by running her life with spreadsheets. My family is half American, and we're heading for the drama of Thanksgiving in November. Thanksgiving has an enormous spreadsheet that starts 3 weeks in advance, but she sometimes forgets what's not on a spreadsheet. I'm somewhere in between. I've got a little book, and I sometimes, when I remember, write out what I'm doing that day. This is in the diary. This is what I'd love to get done. Dun, 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 bum, bum, bum. And what I've found is that I actually get more done if I've written down stuff at the beginning of the day. That's not some holy thing. It's just it focuses me on doing. So I don't know, are you a list person? Do you have a shopping list? Now I've got a shopping app. And I think, oh, I've run out of toilet rolls. I get my phone out and put toilet rolls, and they arrive on Thursday morning with a nice man. So this morning, I love to share with you an encouraging little list for you to take away. Things that point us to Jesus and his call in our lives and through us. And we're going to find what we're looking at in that reading about the church in Thessalonica. I've actually been to Thessalonica. It's in northeast Greece. It's a port city. I think we were going to Greece when I was a teenager, and we drove down through Europe and camped there. It's now called Thessaloniki, and it's still really important where it is. It's on the trade routes east to west and north to south. It's got a very ancient history. And I'm sure you know Paul and his companions went round. It sounds like a Mediterranean holiday, really. Athens, Thessalonica, Philippi, Greece. And it's interesting, in reading the New Testament, I don't know if you've ever done this, we read like the letter to this, that, and the other. But if you, on the other hand, you have the book of Acts, you can read the story, the history of where they went and when. And, oh, they went to Thessalonica here. And here, oh, and here's the letter that they wrote, and we put the things together, and it comes to life as being a local church, and what was happening there, and how we apply that to ourselves. We know, for example, when Paul was in Thessalonica, he worked as a tent maker. That was his job. You know, I've been in ordained ministry for over 30 years, and the Church of England has kindly given me a stipend and a vicarage to do that, and now they kindly give me a very small pension. But mostly, people don't have that setup of buildings and pews and the parish share and how much we're going to give the diocese to support all this stuff. They went out and got a proper job and then did their ministry in the rest of their time. Honestly, brothers and sisters, I think this tent maker will become more and more significant in the church in the years to come. I think in ministry, we'll call it a self-supporting minister. And there's a growing number of those across London and across country. They might be lawyers or bus drivers or you name it, but they've felt a call of God to ordain ministry and done some looking into that, done some training. They're ordained. They're properly ordained as a priest in the Church of England, called a self-supporting minister. So Paul was doing that. We're sort of catching up with that stuff now, making tents and presumably he'll get the job. and the resource, the money that he got, would resource and feed him and his companions when they're on their travels. When he came to Thessalonica, he preached with such effect that many people, particularly Greeks, were in Macedonia, and they were followers of pagan religions and all the gods and goddesses that you might see if you went to temples. Very loose living, loose sexual morality would be the norm. It's very interesting at the start of the letter. Do you know, as when we used to write letters that went in envelopes, we'd put the address and then said, Dear X, and then you get all the way to the bottom before you found out who it was from. Now, when you got an email, you've got from the X to Y, subject. Guess what? The internet's catching up with what they did 2,000 years ago. From Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the Church of God in Thessalonica, grace and peace to you. Grace, a Christian greeting. Shalom, a Hebrew greeting made one in Jesus. Here we are. Back to my list. This is all about good news in me, good news in us, good news to the world. It's a list of three. Good news in me, I invite you to take that personally for yourself. The good news of the gospel comes to individuals one at a time. Different ways, different journeys. Everybody's journey of faith, it might last a lifetime, it might have an immediate beginning, it might have a process. It might be that people go away inside or outside and then find like a prodigal journey back. Paul says, the gospel came to you in words. It came in power. It came in full conviction. When God speaks to us, it's through the words of a person, someone else. Do you know, when the sort of current research says, how do people become a Christian nowadays? It's about 2% because the vicar says so, about a couple more percent because they have some invitation, and 96% because a person invites them. Now, it comes through words. Words, our words. Somebody's words spoke to me. And God works in power by his Holy Spirit to bring that to life. And our invitation is to be humble in our faith, but have conviction. There's a definite beginning for them, but there's also a process. And Paul gives thanks for the work of faith in their lives, for the labor of love, for the steadfastness of hope. Faith, hope, and love start in you and they start in me. But those things are at the heart of being an ongoing disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't grow out of them. We grow in faith. Our faith is challenged and it grows a bit more. Labor of love, knowing that we are loved, we love others. It's not an easy thing to do. Steadfastness of hope, having Christian hope in our lives. It starts in me, all these things. But also, we're called to be part of us. It's good news in us. Paul looked to the local church and this local church in Thessalonica, and it was a source of great thanksgiving. We always give thanks for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Always give thanks in all circumstances. We can't always give thanks for every circumstance, but we can have a grateful heart in every circumstance. I love the thing in Psalm 95. Come into God's presence with thanksgiving. If you spend time in prayer every day, I would commend. When we started having cars, we had this old Ford van, and you'd go out, be in the drive, and you'd have the starting handle. I'm older than I look, happily. And you'd go, turn in event, and it would cough and splat. Eventually, it would come into life, and you'd hang on to the choke and whatever for dear life. But I would suggest that starting handle is like thanksgiving. You come into God's presence with thanksgiving, probably coffee as well, but thanksgiving to just turn our hearts, wake our hearts up to how good God is. God is good all the time. And it's like an echo of 1 Corinthians 13. He gives thanks for their faith, hope, and love, like foundations of our community. How do we grow those things in our lives, in our local churches? He reminds them that they are brothers and sisters in Christ, that this is a family that's there for eternity. The ones that you kind of born with, you're rather stuck with, but only in this life. Your Christian family is a global one. Wherever you go, you will meet people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good news in us. Paul talks about us being like an example. Some people, have you ever been inspired in your faith by some people? Have you thought that you might be an inspiration to someone else? You know, I can remember through my Christian journey, I was being inspired by someone who was a worshiper, and I'd look at them and think, wow, this seems so real. Would you make me a worshiper like my friend there? And that's a good prayer to pray. Would you give me a heart of a pastor to care for people? And that person is so loving and kind and patient. Lord, would you work that in me? And across all of us, we become that good news. We become examples to each other. So good news starts in me, in you as an individual, and it's there as a lifelong journey. The good news happens in us as God's people. And then it is to the world. Good news is for sharing. These Christians had had an experience of turning away from their life of idolatry, from their easygoing standards. And they were serving a living God, not lifeless idols. And a true trust and solid trust in God. And it overflowed in service and witness and some hostility. There's some myth around us that likes to think, oh, here we are with the church. Everybody loves us. It's all very nice. And we read the Gospels and we read Jesus saying, if they hated me, sometimes they're going to hate you too. Not because you're a hateful person, but because you're a follower of Jesus. And that's so, and that may well be so increasingly. So in our troubled world today, let's remind ourselves of this journey that holds us so solidly in our faith. Good news in me, turning to Jesus, following in his footsteps on a lifelong journey, being made more like him by the Spirit. Good news in us. We are the local Christian community, growing in faith, hope, and love. And we are good news to the world. We are called to be peacemakers, praying and acting for peace, shining out with the love of Christ and being a beacon of hope in a world that sometimes is so dark. Let's just take a moment to pray. Maybe you want us to take a moment to thank God for your trust in him and ask him to grow you in that love and trust. Lord, we turn to you. We thank you for good news in us. We thank you for our fellowship in Christ. Lord, would you use us to shine in this dark world and be peacemakers? And we ask it for your glory. Amen. Let's stand.